Welcome to Out Now Podcast that amplifies the voices and topics which help us think of situations differently.
We are your hosts, Tanya and Janine. We believe that together we can make a difference by discussing important and even fun topics of our time.
Out Now Podcast delves into the stories and experiences of individuals who have faced tough times. We uncover the hidden narratives in difficult topics.
Through this podcast, we strive not only to inform, but also to empower our listeners. Together, we can raise awareness and spark meaningful dialogue.
We believe that everyone has a role to play in shaping the world we live in. So join us as we oust now.
I wasn't sure what to think. I was definitely in disbelief. Although I had already been independent for a while at this point, I was still 17. I was already trying to figure things out for myself, and now a kid too. When I first started showing signs of real illness, I thought everything was normal. It's all a part of pregnancy, right? I was sickly and sickly looking. I was paler, if it could be such a thing, from my bright, darn, near white complexion. My eyes were sunken in. I couldn't eat, and I didn't care much to. I thought nothing of it. I'd never been pregnant before, and according to all the What to Expect books, it was normal to not feel good. So, when I went for my regular gestational visit, I knew what to expect. But no, not at all. The nurse is moving the probe around and staying quiet. Then she asked me to hold on a minute, as if there was another option. The other nurse comes in. Then she started with the probing next. Me, still clueless. She gave me some white bath cloth so I could clean up and told me I could get dressed. After I was dressed, that's when the doctor spoke with me about what the nurses were going back and forth about. I was crushed. We cannot find a heartbeat. I sat there, taking it in, but still not taking it in. That disbelief thing I do again. Your baby should have been developed a lot further along according to your gestation. So development stopped for a while now. This is dangerous for you. If your body doesn't do it naturally, we are going to have to perform a DNC, she explained. If you continue to carry this pregnancy, it can become toxic to your blood and potentially kill you. She ended as if she was asking me permission. Fast forward to now, 2023. I cannot imagine that situation in the present. Women are confused about their rights and the doctors too. I think about how hurtful and traumatic that was for me in those moments. My heart aches for women of now and generations to come. I had to have that DNC back then. My body didn't do it on its own. I apologize to all women from a place of understanding.
I was in my 30s before I ever decided I wanted to have children. I had always known it would not be an easy journey, so imagine my surprise when I found myself somewhat unexpectedly, nervously, yet happy to be expecting. After experiencing what were the typical symptoms of early pregnancy, I began to spot what I didn't know then, but now know to be common, but more common in pregnancies not expected to come to term. I felt unheard, undersupported, and afraid. I would like to say the doctors offered me options, but they didn't. It was wait and see. And while I was waiting and seeing, I began to miscarry at home with my husband. It was traumatic. The amount of blood and matter between my bathtub and my toilet was shocking. I gave birth at 12 weeks, and my 12-week fetus was likely in the toilet. If it sounds harsh to hear that, it is. But it's true. I am one of many women who have experienced this. Had the doctor offered me a choice, I may have opted for assistance, but I was not given one.
Hey, Ousters. This episode is pre-recorded. At the time of this recording, there was a lot in the media about Naomi Watts and Kate Cox. So while we were reading this in the media, we knew we wanted to do an episode, but we also wanted to ask our circle of friends and family if they'd be willing to share their experience with miscarriage. And you have just listened to two anonymous stories of women who have experienced miscarriage. And we wanted to share these experiences to hopefully shed some light for people who do not understand what miscarriage, pregnancy loss, or to potentially carry a pregnancy while knowing that it may not come to term, maybe a stillborn, or may not live past their first year. So we shared these stories to, again, help shed some light on what that might feel like or be like from a person who's not in the news, like Miss Naomi Watts or Miss Kate Cox, who, incidentally, they were just normal people, just like us, or just women, just like us. And boy, do we have some opinions about this.
Hello. Girl.
Yeah.
That was that hysterical laugh. You know that? Wow. Mm-hmm. I can't believe it. I was shocked when I heard it and I was reading it. I was like, wow. And I'm talking about Miss Watts' story. I don't know if I had shared this story in any of our previous episodes. I vaguely recall discussing it with you, but I can't remember if it was actually during an episode or if it was just us chit-chatting. But I remember showing up onto a scene when I was a police officer with a similar situation. When I got there, her husband was kind of pacing the floor back and forth, and he was just pointing to the bathroom door. And I could hear the sobbing, almost wailing a little bit. And when I opened the door, this poor woman was holding what looked to be a little tiny fetus on a piece of tissue in her hands. I didn't know what to think. I just know I knew what that felt like to have a miscarriage before. That part I understood, but I was just like, how sad. What are they charging her for? I think it's so cruel. How many women have had something this unfortunate? So not only is this woman grieving, because it's still a process, it's a loss, but now we're going to lock her up. Because in the midst of such a traumatic event, she don't know what to do. Who would? Who would know what to do? And it's heartbreaking. And it's disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So she is being charged. Let me see if I can get this right.
And that really was just kind of like a question. Like, I know that
right. She's
being charged, but I'm like, what the fuck? All right.
So for our listeners who may not know,
right,
she miscarried in her bathroom. Her pregnancy had already been determined as non-viable. So let's go with the context of this, the whole scenario. The doctors had already determined that the pregnancy was going to be non-viable. She'd been back and forth to the hospital multiple times in a week. And at least one time in the hospital, 8 hours, while the risk, what was that team called? The risk management team was trying to determine what is their risk if they helped her with her next steps. It was already determined it was a non-viable pregnancy, so I want to be clear about it. But please also know, while I'm trying to be clear on this here, I pass no judgment on any woman who decides that they do not want to be a mother and they choose to have an abortion. There is no judgment in what I'm saying. So I want to be very clear here. I'm just talking about Ms. Watts. They had already determined that her pregnancy was non-viable. And while the hospital is spending hours trying to determine what's the right course of action to protect their asses, she's waiting for care. One day, 8 hours, with no care, where she decided to leave. So she made a choice that was best for her emotional health and her emotional well-being. Meanwhile, they were too busy twiddling their fucking thumbs, trying to decide her health plan. Here's what she's being charged with. Okay. Being charged with abuse of a corpse.
Right.
Okay. So that's a little bit of context on what's happening here. If you were paying attention to the news, you may have read some of this for yourself, but that's the Cliff Notes version of what has happened to her. And it's, yeah.
Do you think by any chance it's a possibility that maybe because of how the laws have changed, that's why they wasn't actively moving as fast on giving her options? Or do you think it's just a general clear thing across the board? Hey, you know, you just got to wait.
I think it's very well why the hospital took so long to move. But please keep in mind, she'd been back and forth to the hospital 3 times already. By the 4th time she went to the hospital, she had already miscarried. So she'd been back and forth several times, three times. And with each time, she didn't get the full care of what she needed. Now, I understand. Don't get me wrong. I get that hospitals, you know, they have to prevent risk. There's so many lawsuits, blah, blah, blah. I am not as sympathetic when she's sitting there bleeding and you guys are hemming and hawing about your risk. I get it to a degree. But in the meantime, you don't understand, or they don't understand the risk to her mental health, her physical, like the doctors understood the risk to her physical health because the doctor recommended. And I think the doctor may have said something to the effect of like, please do not delay her health care in your decision while you guys try to make up your minds. There's a quote from the doctor specifically about that in one of the articles that we read, but instead of providing health care, they're more concerned with saving their asses. Now, yes, you're right. It is because of the laws. And I understand that, well, you know, how we need to protect ourselves from a lawsuit because of these new laws that are going into effect. But in the meantime, what's happening to her? What about protecting your patient?
I understand what you're saying, yeah. But I do want to say this. The only person that I really, really, girl, love. the person up, like even the doctors, I'm gonna be real, okay? If I bust my ass for years of education and I work hard to become doctor anything, professional anything, I wouldn't want to risk my license either. I wouldn't want to risk my license either. I just have to be real honest. I have to look at it from both sides here. As doctors, they're afraid. As women needing the healthcare, we're scared. But I do wholeheartedly blame that nurse. I blame her. Now the doctor.
Before you look, do that. But don't do that. Wait. Let's back for a second.
Why?
Because it wasn't her. She was doing her job. And I read it again. Because when I read it again this morning, I was like, oh, fuck. So that was my first initial action. And we can talk about, like, my first initial reaction was the same thing. Like, that fucking asshole. Right? But she was asking for guidance. She was like, oh, well, she was pregnant and now she's not. Like, she was asking the risk management team is the one who recommended that she call the police and that there's a potential fetus in a bucket outside the woman's garage. So I think the nurse is probably following the protocol and that risk management is where it got tricky. Because that was my friend, that's what I said. I was like, that fucking nurse. But it wasn't. It was really the risk management people. So they're the ones making decisions about healthcare. Okay. So sorry. I don't know how you want to make that. Go ahead.
So look, even with that being said, let's talk about the risk management. So before they made that decision, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did they not look in this woman's file? Did they not see, hey, she has already been diagnosed, she's already been here about this? Did that ever one time occur to their risk management? Because I get it, they have to cover them, but wasn't that quite dumb? So every woman that has a miscarriage from here on out, because I'm being real, usually that is a really private thing. Some women have miscarriages and never speak about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking like, what in the hell is wrong with this picture here?
Yeah.
And so, like, you have to notify somebody now? Like, you have to catch it? I know this might even sound kind of like real asshole-ish when I say what I'm about to say, but like, what the hell are they supposed to do? Like, if I have a miscarriage on a toilet, I'm supposed to what at that point? Dive in,
I guess.
And that's what
it's not. It's not even funny.
I'm so angry about just the thought of it. Like, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah. And I had that very same reaction because I was like, this fucking asshole. Like, of all the things you could have been doing, you decide to call the police. Okay. But it turns out she was following protocol, hospital, wah, wah, wah. But then this risk management team, they're the ones that gave the recommendation. So here she is following protocol, but it's like risk management is making health decisions. Now, the doctor said, recommend, I agree. Like, it's like, well, am I going to risk my licensing with all the years that I worked with? Yeah, why would anybody? But the doctors had already said, this is my recommendation. But risk management is making the decision. So how much would you trust going to hospitals behind all this shit? Or OBGYNs and clinical institutions behind this?
Girl, I this is off topic, but I'm trying to tell you, like, I've always been mistrusting when it comes to hospitals, and for mm-hmm. a couple of reasons. I remember as a child, I remember being sick in the hospital, and they was literally coming in my room at nighttime, questioning me while I was asleep, asking me all kinds of questions. And from the time I was that age until now, look, I'm like, yo, I've seen them do it. They've done it to me. So it made me fearful. Even when I take my kids to the hospital, and I don't think I ever really comprehended why I was like that. I really kind of felt like it was my years in foster care. But when I look back on it now, I'm like, oh, okay. So it really is this that happened when I was a kid that has me feeling like they are so not trustworthy.
For sure. Yep. I mean, I like you, like, and then had part in part, like I have a few reasons why I have a lack of trust in some medical professionals, but I don't fully trust, because you're always afraid that, well, if I'm open and fully disclose what I'm experiencing, you're going to either label me as I'm crazy. I've actually had that happen.
Yep.
Oh, you're crazy. Or it could literally mean the difference between them reporting you to whoever, DPS, whoever the fuck it is in your state, and suddenly you lose your right as a parent. So, like, as parents, we have to really outweigh the, just like this risk management team, we have to do that. But then where does that become dangerous? It becomes dangerous because it's like, well, I have to tailor make and be careful. But what I tell you before you unnecessarily report me or unnecessarily call me crazy, and I can't trust you.
And that's it. It's trust. Like, you have to be able to trust. We did talk about something like, you can't help me. When I told you about that doctor that wasn't hearing what I was saying, right? Mm-hmm. Like, lady, I told you. I don't smoke. Lady, I told you I don't drink like that. But you have to hear me, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to not hear me, but you have to listen to what it is I'm telling you. So you can't help me if I'm not being honest. But then how do I help you help me if ain't no trust there?
Mm-hmm.
So there's no trust. So I'm not willing to tell you everything. I'm not willing to tell you, hey, you know what? I'm not feeling myself. I'm a little depressed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not willing to tell you certain things. It went from I want to share to, nah, yeah, I'm good, because she already think I'm a whole damn alcoholic. And I'm just told this hoe, I don't drink like that. You know, yeah. So like don't and you know, I had to say it like it's just trying to be funny, just to kind of joke about it. But I was really looking at her like, yo, what the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah, absolutely. And like in the case with Miss Watts, like, you know, the thing is, she's being charged with this abuse of a corpse. But this, like you said earlier, so the police had already they later determined that the fetus was wedged in the pipes. What the fuck? Like you said, was she supposed to dive into the fucking pipes to find it? Is she a plumber? So yeah, like she's...
I try not to laugh, but that was pretty good. I'm so sorry. That's not even... It's not a laughing matter, but...
It's really not. But is she a plumber? She got to call the plumber? But...
Okay. Mm-mm. Okay. Even with that being said, yo, so from now on, from this point on, like really sit on that for a minute. So from this point on, if you ever miscarriage, if you ever have, if anyone you know, your niece, your daughter, your granddaughters, any woman around you, your close dear friends, they don't have any privacy
or protection.
Right. No, that's it. No protection at all. So if you miscarry, if you don't do it the way we say you do it, you're going to jail.
Yeah. Like she's on trial because crazy. Instead of, I don't know what the expectation was, because she was trying to keep up. How can I say this? Because she decided to go on with her day, she's on trial for it. Because instead of staying home, I guess wallowing in her bed or she's on trial because she decided to go to her hair appointment because she was trying to keep a safe face. Does that make sense? Because no one knew she was pregnant. So she was just trying to keep up appearances for her family who had expectations of her. And because she did that, she's a fucking criminal. What is she supposed to do? Sit at home and wallow in her grief? Is that the expectation?
This story is, it's scary.
Mm-hmm.
Having witnessed such a thing and knowing people firsthand that have really had experiences similar, it's just...
Yep. Like, it's a scary time to be a pregnant woman.
Girl, it's a scary time to be a woman.
There is a point where, like, in one of the articles, like, so our sources, we're happy to share them, Associated Press and Washington Post. While this woman is in court, the DA is saying, the assistant prosecutor says, there's a comment where, and I'm gonna, the baby was put into a toilet. The baby was not put into a toilet. How the fuck was she supposed to know what was in the toilet? An overflowing toilet, mind you. They depicted her as if she picked it up and put it in the toilet. What this dumb fuck doesn't understand is that if you're miscarrying, there's no way for you to control what and where shit is going. Because your body is saying, this all needs to go. And it just goes wherever it goes. It's not like she could pick through.
Right.
Sorry.
So I'm just going to be transparent. I'm just going to be real transparent. So I have had a miscarriage, and when it, like, you don't know what's what.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just being 100% real. You don't know what's what, because it's clotting. It's blood. It's even stuff that looks like, I'm trying to find a way to even.
We try not to be too graphic.
Right. Like, I don't want to say, no, I don't want to say this, but I'm just like, yeah, like you don't know what's what. And half the time, and if I'm being 100%, depending on how far along you are in your pregnancy, you can't even see it.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't even be able to see it to separate it, depending on how far along you are. I think about how far along that lady was when I showed up to her home and she was holding it in a napkin. And she was pretty far along. And it's just disturbing to me.
Mm-hmm.
Girl, that shit makes me angry as hell.
I agree.
And I'm pretty sure. God. What was she supposed to do with that? Keep it on a napkin? Like that, what the hell is wrong with people? And so, see, some people are so quick to try to make a name or a law or prove that they are something. And sometimes it's sad as fuck because it's at the expense of other people's
misery and pain.
Help me.
Yep.
Right. It's at the expense of her pain, her well-being, her trauma. I guarantee there's no way in hell whoever decided to push forward with this has ever had a miscarriage. It's no damn way.
Yep.
Yep. You can't, like, that's impossible, because if you ever had one, you would fucking know better.
You know, I bet you this DA who said that comment was a man, clearly. And for all these assholes who feel they have a right to say as to what happens in our bodies, I was sitting here thinking about it when I was reading. I was like going through it again. I was like, you know, why are you so pressed about what's happening within our bodies? You don't even know the how it actually works. You don't know how our bodies work. You're so pressed to be in what's happening in our bodies. You must want to be a woman. And because you can't be a woman, that's why you want to control what we can fucking do with our bodies.
I'm so tired. It's...
That's how I feel about it.
Let me find out you want a coochie.
I mean, I know maybe that sounds
it's not
a
all it's
much.
Cracked up to be. I got one.
Right. You want to deal with cramps on a regular, on a monthly basis, sometimes more than once a month, depending on where you are and your fertility or not. Like, why are you so pressed? Like, I was sitting
control.
Here.
It's control.
Why?
Because
they don't have
it's control.
Excuse me. They ain't got to put but they want to fucking control it. But they must want one real bad. Excuse me.
Well, as a person with a vagina.
I shouldn't have said that. I would probably bleep that. I will probably bleep that shit. Or maybe I'll keep it in. I don't know. I won't scare
keep
people
it
away.
In. Just keep it there. That's my suggestion. Don't edit that. But as a person with a whole damn vagina and born that way. I feel like, and I'm not, again, because I don't want no smoke, right? I was born with a vagina. I want to be called a woman. That's my noun. Even though on social media, I joked about it and I said my pronoun was I wish, only because they was talking about marijuana. And I was like, I wish.
Okay.
But so I'm just saying. But on a serious note, as a woman, I'm so very thankful. I'm thankful that I had this journey and other journeys at an earlier point in time.
Mm-hmm.
I would not want to be a young woman now facing some of the decisions that I had to face when I was a young woman, younger woman. Young girl.
Because I still feel young.
Because I'm still in there. I'm still that. But I wouldn't. I'm in fear when I look at my daughter. I'm in fear when I think about my oldest daughter. And it used to be a thing of don't get pregnant. Right? Because as a parent, as a mother whose life stopped, right? Because once
changes.
You have kids, it's right, changes. Right. Once you have kids, it just changes. And then it's just, you know, and it's hard. And so a lot of times when I looked at my oldest daughter and I was like, don't have any kids, it wasn't really from a place of, I don't think she can do it, or because she's definitely old enough, right? She's old enough now. She's like grown. She's an adult. But my thing was, yeah, don't have any children because, you know, do your career. Like, live your life a little bit. Don't have kids early, because I had my first one at like 23, right? And so even though I was grown, I still was so very unprepared. I was still a kid. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I might not have legally been a kid, but I was definitely, like, I look at young people now and I'm like, yeah, you're still a baby. Right? Like, yeah, you're going to figure it out. But now, when I tell my kid, hey, don't get pregnant, it's not even the same. It's not even coming from the same place.
Yeah.
It's coming from, like, listen, you don't got no options. Don't get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have any choices anymore on what you choose to do. So you can't opt out. Don't get pregnant. Mm-hmm. Not only can you not opt out, and that's because I don't pass judgment on anybody. What they choose to do was for their life. And I feel like that's what part of the goddamn problem is. People don't know how to mind their fucking business. Mind your damn business. You don't have to feed it, take care of it. After it gets here, child,
mm-hmm.
Child, girl, I was about to go in. As a
go
person
in.
That, raised, that was girl, as a person that was raised in the foster care system, like what the mind y'all damn business. And when y'all should be paying attention, don't nobody know nothing.
Well, here's it.
Now
right?
That is some asinine shit.
Oh, for sure. So, okay, perfect example. Okay, so you want more women. I think part of it is that they need more people in society, right? So a part of me feels like this is like, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but a part of me genuinely feels like maybe there's not enough women having babies. And that may be true. There's statistics to cover that. Is it biological? Sure. Is it choice? Sure. But this environment that we live in, it's not really conducive. It's really, it's children are expensive. Okay. And it's at least a 20 plus year commitment of expenses. Okay. So the government does, they don't take kindly to wanting to have to assist you with having to feed and clothe your kid. In fact, there's a lot of fucking judgment that comes with it. So you want to control women having babies. Great. Now, what services are you going to provide? Childcare is expensive. It's almost as much as a mortgage payment or a car payment, if not more. You want to control our bodies, but how are you going to make it more conducive where maybe we can afford childcare or healthcare and food and clothing? You know, like if that's the case, you need more women having babies to make our environment legally more conducive of it. We cannot afford to raise kids. Let's be fucking real. When we do it, but is it hard? Sure. But women are making the choice to decide, well, I'm not going to do that because I can't afford it. I was talking to someone recently. They were like, I can't afford to have kids. And I've struggled with getting pregnant and I can't really afford to have kids. So I'm just not. So we are having to consciously make that choice, but then to force women into things that they don't want, maybe because you need more population, more people paying fucking taxes, then make it easier for us on the back end. Like if that's part of it, which it very well may be.
I've heard that. They say that, you know, the vid, the 19,
the Rona
had did too much damage. And so now they're trying to, you know, repopulate. I've heard such things. I really have. But me personally, I don't give a fuck what y'all reasoning is. That poor woman. I mean, how much worse of a damn consequence? Mm-hmm. Can you get
jail time? Is that going to be her consequence?
No, but mm-hmm. in my mind, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Mm-hmm. So what?
Mm-hmm.
So what? As a person that has miscarried, what is that? And what I mean by that is like that can't even compare. That can't even compare. What is that for? Exactly. Like mm-hmm. you're like that type of loss, you know, and whether it was a wanted pregnancy, unwanted pregnancy, that is a damn traumatic situation to be in. And to lock someone up that is already grieving, probably already questioning, because I questioned. Like, what the hell is this?
Mm-hmm. What is she being like? Why is she?
What? I'm so confused. And I even think about, girl, you're gonna have to help me because you know my mind is old. It's older than yours. So give me a little bit. What's the lady's name?
Oh, well, the woman from girl, Texas?
Girl, yes.
Okay. Okay. Kate Cox. That is her name.
There it is.
There you go.
There it is. There, thank you. And I don't care what you do with that. If you put that in the episode, I don't give a damn. But anyway. But even her, right? So I think her story kind of relates probably more to the anonymous that you read, right?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Because she would have had to probably have a DNC,
mm-hmm.
if I'm understanding correctly.
Yep, absolutely.
Why should this woman have to go all the way to another state to get a needed procedure? Not an option.
Mm-hmm.
Not an option. It was needed.
Mm-hmm.
Because anybody can go do the homework and research it themselves and see what happens when your body doesn't do, they call it a, if your body doesn't naturally spontaneous abortion. And if your body does not do it on its own, then you do have to have a procedure done, because if you continue along with that pregnancy and your body doesn't do it, it's putting your health at risk. It's toxic at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And so for her to have to go to another state, it's ridiculous to me.
I agree.
It is.
I agree. And if you don't know what about Kate Cox, she had found out on around Thanksgiving that her baby had trisomy 18. And one out of every 2,500 pregnancies result with trisomy 18. And 95% do not survive full term. From that remaining 5%, when I say do not survive full term, it usually leads to either miscarriage or stillborn. That's 95% of fetuses that have trisomy 18. So of the remaining 5%, 40% don't survive labor, and less than 10% live past their first year. So for those of you who don't know, around Thanksgiving, it was determined that Ms. Cox's fetus was diagnosed with trisomy 18. And it turns out that one out of every 2,500 pregnancies, the fetus will be diagnosed with trisomy 18. 95% of fetuses that are diagnosed with this diagnosis do not survive full term, meaning they will either be miscarried or be born as a stillborn. Of the remaining 5%, 40% don't survive labor, and less than 10% live past their first year. So what is trisomy 18? It is a condition that causes severe development delays due to an extra chromosome 18. And, you know, that's the outcome, or that's the known outcome, according to this article, what I gather from this article. That's the percentages of the outcome for a fetus that's diagnosed with trisomy 18. And that's why she wanted to have her procedure done where she lives. Why should she have to go to another state? Can she afford? She's lucky she can afford to go to another state, first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
She's lucky that she can.
I was thinking that because the way the economy is right now, like, it's hard. Like, I don't know if for everybody, but it's hard. And even before the economy got here, who can afford mm-hmm. to travel out of state? And not for nothing, but Texas ain't no small. It ain't small.
Mm-mm, it's not.
Right? So the next state ain't like really like right there. Unless it's like right there. You know what I mean? Like,
they live at the border of Texas somewhere.
Right. You know what I mean? Right.
Right. Because then you can't really drive, then you got to fly. And then you have a hotel stay and all this other stuff.
Right. Right.
And it says, so ultimately, Ms. Cox, she chose to leave the state for care because I believe her physicians were concerned that she would suffer immediate and irreparable injury if she did not have one, which would affect her fertility and her future chances of having children, which her and her family wanted. But also she was getting threats. So the attorneys, to quote the article that I read, I think it was from NBC News, and I'll quote it exactly how she left the state for care because she would suffer immediate and irreparable injury without an abortion. And two, the attorney general's ongoing threats to enforce Texas abortion laws against her. However, so now she's being threatened by the attorney general because of a genetic defect that her baby was unlikely to even, one, be born at her own risk. I feel like she should have qualified for care based under some exceptions as a medical emergency. Why did she not qualify? She had already started spotting and bleeding.
The thing that really baffles me, like I'm so perplexed about it, is that so in order for you to have a procedure, someone has to say it's okay. And how long is that process? Like, while y'all trying to figure it out, time is ticking. And not for y'all. Y'all have time to what's the word I'm looking for? So while y'all sit there and figure it out and try to make a name for yourself, because that's what I feel some of it really is. If I'm being like 100% honest, I feel like that's what some of it is, right? So while y'all making a decision about me, we're waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And see, time is of the essence with stuff like that. So y'all get to take y'all time figuring it out and get back to this poor woman with an answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm both cases, right?
Right. And meanwhile, day by day, it's getting riskier and riskier and more damaging. And it's already traumatic while y'all trying to figure it out. Why do they have that much power? That is crazy to me.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I don't like where, why, I don't know. Like, I guess she didn't technically have the right to privacy, right, Ms. Cox? Because I was just about to say, like, well, why was she not entitled to some level of privacy? But I guess she took her own privacy away by bringing out a lawsuit so she can have the care she needed in her own home state. Like, I guess that kind of negated that fact, right? But why was she, I guess what's sad is, like, basically, if she didn't have the resources to go out of state to get the care that she needed, she would have really been at risk. She would have really been at risk. So it's like, you want to wait till there's possibly no recovery and there's no turning back, where maybe she could potentially pass away. You would wait to that point? Or why have her live the trauma of knowing that she may, of the 10% that make it to, of the 10%, that could make it to their first year, you would have her live and know that that child is not going to make it past the year. So what does that do? Sorry, because I know you can hear it in the background. What does that do for her own mental health? And how can she parent and be okay for her kids and her husband?
That's what I was about to say. Like, isn't that some type of, like, wouldn't that be cruel and unusual punishment?
It is cruel.
Like, that is so freaking mean.
It's very cruel. Yeah.
And what in the hell gives someone else the right to say, this is your option. This is what you have to do. Can you listen? the hurt and the bitterness. Y'all, I'm like, well, then you take care of it then.
Right. Oh.
I'm so sorry. Right. Doesn't that sound like real like
okay.
Like
I, no, you're right.
I know that probably makes me sound like a straight bitch, but in my mind, I'm like, well, then you take care of it.
Right. And
you take care of every need for this special needs child that like who like that is.
Yeah. And if that's the case, then okay. So when we have even more children than we already do in the foster care system with not enough people wanting to take on that responsibility, let's be very fucking honest here. At one point, I was considering, like at one point, and I have long since passed that, thought that, well, maybe I could adopt, right? But then when you look at, like, I hate to say it, sometimes you can browse websites and see kids that are available for adoption, which is very strange to fucking say that, but it's true. You can. And they're usually older kids. And the kids that have disabilities and severe disabilities, they don't get adopted very quickly. Which means what? That they're not providing the resources for those kids. So here we go again, circling back to, okay, you want us to have kids, but we don't want them. So we're just not going to take them home. We'll leave them right here at the hospital. Well, what is the government going to do for those kids? Because please don't tell me that people wouldn't do it. Because I told you I didn't want to have any children, but I'm being forced into it. Okay, great. Well, then here you go. Now it's the burden on the state to take care of this child. But does the state really want to take care of kids in foster care?
And then they really don't. And then let me say this too. So you force them to have children, right? And yeah, I mean, we talked about it because we talked about in another episode when we were talking about the hero episodes, right? Mm. So instead of these mothers abandoning these children, they have the safe havens and the places where you can leave your children, but after a certain age, that's not an option, right? So it's still called abandonment, right? You still get charged for it. But, you know, and then you do have, you have some people that say this, and I gotta, cause we gotta tap in on everything, right? So you have some people that say, well, close your legs.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's an option.
Fair point. Abstinence. It's a great way.
Right.
It's a great way to prevent pregnancy. I mean, absolutely.
I'm saying I was coming up on a whole damn year. Like I'm, you know, it can be done.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. It's been a good minute.
I mean, yep. Abstinence is a great way. You ain't lying.
But, you know, so just like, you know, keep your shit to yourself, which is definitely an option. Right. But let's go to married couples.
Mm-hmm.
So let's fast forward to married couples. So married couples can't make decisions for their marriage.
Nope.
So
it's the government. It's the state. It's, yep.
Right? Yep. Right. So now, so these young parents that probably should not be parents. I should not. Not at like even at 23, I was like, damn, I'm still trying to figure that shit out. Right. So then you have, and I'm not saying that for all young people, because some young people really do a really good job even figuring it out.
Well, even older parents. Right?
So I'm not taking,
like, not for nothing.
Even older parents, right?
Parenting is not for the weak. Okay. It's not for the weak. Your kids are going to hate you and they won't appreciate you for a very long time. So it's not for the faint of heart.
Girl.
No matter how hard you try,
moment.
Your kids will not appreciate or understand the sacrifices that you have made until they are older and parents themselves. So it's a thankless job at any age, right? But harder when you're younger.
Yeah, I love my kids. And we've definitely had this talk before. Girl, what they say? Hindsight is what? 2020.
Very clear. Very, very clear.
Yeah. I really feel like it is, it's worse. A lot of times people are like, oh, things are getting better. Things are getting better. No. Married couples, they shouldn't be intimate because out of the fear that if they have a oops.
Yeah. And then, you know. Yeah, but then, oh, shit. But then also, less, I mean, I know it's probably a small percentage, but birth control fails. So if you, like, in a committed relationship, long-term relationship, or whether you're married or not, you may be on some sort of birth control. However, birth control also fails. And let's not forget, I believe a woman recently, she is suing, it might be Texas, oddly enough, she's suing because the doc she paid for and was told that she had a tubal ligation. The doctor never performed it. And she ended up pregnant. Like, holy shit, this shouldn't have happened. The doctor never performed it. And now she's suing, as she very well should.
And very well should. So, like, wait, what?
Birth control failed.
And I bet you it's charged. I bet you the insurance was charged.
Oh,
for
I'm
it.
Sure they were.
Because they promote that junk, right? After you have like a couple of kids, they start promoting that stuff. Do you want to get your tubes tied? Do you want to get your tubes tied?
Oh, yeah.
You want to get your tubes tied? They start promoting that, right? And also, you know, the other thing that I thought about too is what about, you know, don't judge me. I haven't watched it in a long time, but I used to watch the talk show, you know, like, you know, 99.9, he is the daddy, you know, that show.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what about the episode where the guy, he had a whole,
oh, a vasectomy.
Dissectomy. Right. That's it, girl. Yeah. I'm like, what is this thing? What? Yeah, my old ass can't think of it. But anyway, yeah, he had the whole dissectomy. And he was like, no, that's not my kid. That's not my kid. That's not my kid. I can't have kids. I'm fixed. Like, you a liar. And she was like, but I know it's yours because I know for a fact I haven't been with anybody else. And he's like, you're a liar, you're a liar, you're a liar. He really thought the damn lady was lying, but guess what? It was 99.9, bruh. You the daddy, honey. Now you go sue who you have to sue, but you the daddy, bruh.
Those are not either always 100% either. You have to go back and get checked and make sure one, it was successful and making sure that, right? Because, like, I'm happy to share. I don't mind sharing it. Like, I chose to have an IUD. For various reasons, it solved a lot of problems for me, but this is in place until my husband can get a vasectomy. Because let's face it, that shit is not, it's not cheap, and I don't think it's always covered by insurance either. So that's our solution, but IUDs have been known to fail. So then what?
And even things that they say are, well, they always say 99. Don't they always say 99 to cover themselves?
There's
right?
always a possibility of failure when it comes to any medication, any device used to try to, you know, so nothing is 100% foolproof. So then what? You're trying to be as thoughtful, like you're trying to be thoughtful and responsible in it, but then what? Then what? Well, shit, here we go. You know?
Bam.
Surprise.
Take that.
No.
Surprise.
Damn it. How about them apples? You know?
And there you have it.
And then, not a touchy subject, but what happens if, you know, you didn't have a choice in that sexual act? Then what? Then what?
And don't you think that's an act of cruelty too, though?
I do, 100%.
Like, what? Like, wait a minute.
I do. Women make the choice to carry to term in situations like that. But what does that look like for the child after? What does it look like for that woman after? Are they taking that into account?
I guarantee they're not thinking about the kids. I feel like a lot of times, and I don't know if this is really what it is, but it could it could play a part into it. But you know how I was saying earlier that sometimes people just want to kind of make a name for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to be on the side that, I guess, is more powerful. Maybe that's the word. Maybe that's what I'm trying. So they want to be on the side of the majority, because that's what the popular vote is. That's what the popular thing is. And sometimes it's at any cost. I sit back and think, do you really believe that? Or do you just believe that?
Yeah. It's like, remember that guy who was running for governor in Georgia?
And he was pushing against abortion. He was like, abortion, 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 abortion.
What's his name?
But then he paid. But then he paid for quite a few of
with
them.
19 kids. Oh, he ain't raised. What was his name? Yeah, that football player.
Hold on, look, I'm still trying to Google it. I can't remember.
Herschel Walker. Was that him?
That's it. I think that was it. Let me see. Hello, wait a minute, because I don't want to be wrong. I'm Googling it as we speak.
Yes.
That was him?
Yes. And he was running against Ralph Warnock in Georgia. Yes. Sorry, it's not funny. Hang on. How many kids does this mother ever have, and how many did he actually raise? Hang on.
Yep, it was definitely him.
Oh,
yep,
it's not him. I don't think he had 19 kids. Hang on, I could be completely wrong.
Girl. So about he denied that he paid. Well, that's not what this woman say.
Okay. He is an absentee father who claimed, I think, 3 children, but then also had 3 other children. And he was very critical of absentee fathers. But you, sir, was what?
Girl. And girl, she came with her receipts. Girl, when I was looking, I was like, God dang, she kept the receipts, girl. She kept the receipts. I'll screenshot it and send it to you.
Weird. Okay, I was like, oh man, how many kids did he have? I was thinking it was 19. It wasn't that many. But it felt like a lot.
So how many did he have?
It doesn't say.
I feel like 1 in your absence is disrespectful.
Right.
So it doesn't really matter, right, how many he had. But
that's true.
Like, how can you say anything about, oh, abortion, abortion, I'm against abortion, but
dude,
you might be against it until it's convenient for you, until it's your decision, right?
Mm-hmm.
To your face with it.
Yep, and he has no qualms about paying for it either, but you're against it?
None. Girl, $575, don't mind paying. I'll screenshot it and send it to you.
What a douche. Okay, it wasn't 19, y'all. I'm sorry. I guess I was, see, that's why correct information is important. That's why we were sitting here looking it up. But it wasn't that many kids. But it felt like a lot. It felt like a lot. But he was a straight up absentee father. But you're against abortion. But get what? You ain't raising it.
But you're not even, right.
And you sure
right,
have paid for it. Right. So it's okay when it's convenient for you. And not okay when it's also convenient for you. So you could win office, because it's about power and money that you'd get from being in public in the public office. Like, they're such hypocrites. They're all just fucking hypocrites to me. 90% of these people, excuse me, I say these people, I mean politicians, all of them. I don't care what race, creed, or color. It's like 90% of y'all not really vested in the good of the common people. Y'all just interested in your own 10%.
Mm-hmm. I also, my take on a lot of things is, whether I agree with your decision or not, I believe in my heart of hearts it's still your decision.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to deal with whatever decision you make.
And
like, so, mm-hmm. So, and I feel like the only time I do have to deal with a decision that you make is when you put these kids and make them a ward of the state, and then everybody's taxes is paying for them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, and I just feel like, and I don't want to get on the whole religious tip. I don't. But some people use religion to push whatever their agenda is.
Mm-hmm.
But what I remember about the God that I serve, because again, we've talked about this previously, not everybody serves the same God.
Mm-hmm.
So just because someone is saying God, you don't know who they're talking to. But my God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, He gives us choices every day. Every single day that He allows us to wake up, He allows us choices and options. Free will. And so when I think about stuff that I see, yeah, that is not godly by any means. And to sit and judge somebody else, yeah, that ain't it. So I mind my business.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know I've had to make some choices along the way that I am thankful that no one had time to judge me other than God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there you have it. We hope that you can appreciate our perspectives when it comes to this here. It's not an easy one to talk about, but when we talk about this, you know, we shied away from this for a very long time. But when this story about Miss Watts came up shortly after what was happening in Texas, like, we just couldn't help it. Because we don't think that any woman should be demonized for the choice she has to make when it comes to her body. And that's any choice. So it's none of my business, none of your business, what a woman decides to do. That's between her, God, and her doctor. However you want, and whatever hierarchy you want to put that in, it is no one else's business. But it seems like it's everyone's business at this point. So we hope that you enjoyed this episode. And before we close out this episode, we want to say a thank you and just talk a little bit about some of the responses that we've gotten recently to our episodes. And we received some comments, and we're going to speak to two of them. One about with a response to the Lewiston, Maine episode that we did. And one commenter said, I would like to say that gun control is not only being sidelined by lobbyists and politicians, but also by our local court system. Mm. And another comment regarding our misunderstanding of Jada. And we're going to address one part of this, because the other part, I think, is addressed in a follow-up episode, and we are pre-recording this. The other comment says, a thought. Do you believe that trauma and being emotionally stuck, could have led to her entanglement? And does she speak about losing Tupac at a younger age? So that part is addressed in another episode. But Janine, do you want to take that one away? Do you think that trauma and being emotionally stuck could have led to her entanglement?
Honestly, you know, I feel like I was kind of harsh initially in the initial episode that we did when it came to her and how I felt about it. But then I think I shared with you that I had a conversation with a guy who gave me insight on how I could look at it a little differently, right?
Hmm.
And how he said it made sense. I could 100% see how someone could be in a vulnerable position or in a space where they would be more open to something that normally they would have never even gave it a second thought.
Mm-hmm.
There's no right or wrong when you're making a decision for you, right? And that was my big takeaway with the episode that we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But that person giving me a different perspective definitely did make me more understanding. And I think when I look back on the title for the episode, where it was like the misunderstanding,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm like, yeah, I could see that. Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. Owsters, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you as always. And please continue to listen because we're going to continue putting out episodes. Thank you so much for your support.
And feedback, please. We like y'all, the comments and the questions. We appreciate all of that so very much. Thank y'all for the support. We are really growing and we can't grow without you guys. So thank you so much. Owsters, y'all are the best.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. We appreciate your support, whether you're listening to our podcast or even following us on our social media pages. Please check us out on our website at www.oustnow.com, where you can find out where you can listen, all those platforms that we're available on. Don't forget to leave us a message with feedback.